Good morning, friend. It's early in the morning on a beautiful Wednesday morning here on the river in Nebraska, and it is D-Day plus two. I told you a couple days ago, June 6th was the invasion of Normandy in World War II, and it's a good day to think about, like, when it's time to deploy, when it's time to just, you're getting, either jumping out of that plane into the battle, or you're getting off that Higgins boat and you got to run into the fight. There's a reason why they call it D-Day. It's go time. Okay, and if you're lined up in the plane, one of those paratroopers, and the green light flashes, and you jump, there's no going back. Like, once you're deployed, you're gone. And I told you a couple days ago, I wanted you to take stock of the things in your kit that you would need to take with you if you were going into the fight for your life, and also to recognize from Hebrews 12 that there's some things you can't take with you if you're going into this fight. If it's really time to go, there's some things you can't take with you. And so I hope you spend a little bit of time thinking about that. Yesterday, Tata and I talked about prayer, give you some examples of how you can engage in a more effective prayer life. And we're going to be talking about that again this week with Tata. But I just wanted you to kind of get prayer in your heart and in your head so that you could be prepared for the battles that will come along. There's one thing that's true. John Bevere's written about this a lot. When you get serious about aligning your life with Jesus, about getting the things squared away, about taking down some walls and remodeling some things and pressing into a new life that you're being called to, when you get serious about that, you are going to have a battle on your hands, because the enemy, other people in your life, inertia, your habits, they're not going to let you go without a fight. They're just not. They're not going to let you go without a fight. And so that means you're going to expect some opposition if you make some real change. You're going to expect some opposition. And so as we hit the beach, as we decide, make some decisions to press in and go, you're going to be expecting some opposition. So I just want you to kind of think about that a little bit. This morning I have sort of two stories to tell you. We're just going to talk for a second. Don't forget the newsletter, drleewarren.substack.com, drleewarren.substack.com. You can sign up for the free weekly newsletter. You can also sign up as a paid subscriber and get all kinds of extra stuff. But check it out, drleewarren.substack.com, because if you like the podcast, the newsletter is really the other half of what I do every week in terms of writing and creating content. The newsletter is a community of people. It's great content, and it will help you. Okay, it'll help you. Self Brain Surgery with Dr. Lee Warren is what I call the newsletter, and drleewarren.substack.com is where you can find it. I think you can also get it. You can still get it. wleewarrenmd.com/newsletter takes you to the same place. So just check out my newsletter. Okay, and if you need prayer, and you do, or if you want to connect with this community and pray for other people, wleewarrenmd.com/prayer is the place to go, wleewarrenmd.com/prayer. I have two stories for you this morning, two stories. One, and so don't try to noodle out who these people are that I'm talking about. You won't be able to. I've changed enough detail that you don't know who I'm talking about. You won't be able to guess it. So no matter who you are that's listening, how close you are to me, you won't know who I'm talking about here, so don't try. Just let the story be a lesson for you, okay? One, she didn't intend for today to be the day. She just woke up like every other day, and she realized something. She was on rock bottom. She woke up and realized that she was at the lowest point she'd ever felt in her life. But the interesting thing was, nothing really dramatic happened. It wasn't a particularly bad day. She didn't get fired, she didn't get divorced, she didn't get a DUI, she didn't find out she had cancer. She just woke up one day and said, my life is not what I want. I don't like it. I'm not happy. She finally looked in the mirror and said it out loud, and she knew some things had to change. It wasn't a particularly bad day. It wasn't a particularly good day. It was just another day in a series of long days. And for her, it was unacceptable for the next day to feel like the previous days had all felt. And she knew she had to do something. For him, it was a pretty dramatic day. He'd been dealing with the same thing over and over for years. He had never quite been able to extinguish the demon. He had gotten back on his feet multiple times. He had had a lot of support from family and coworkers and friends, and had been kind of given some grace that maybe he didn't deserve a couple of times before. But this time, it was impossible to fix. This time, He reached into the well one more time for that old comforting thing that seemed to calm him down and numb him from the realities of his life and shut his brain off for a little bit. And one more time, he decided to take a chance and buy that thing and put it in his body and do it one more time. And this time, he got arrested. This time, it didn't go like it had gone in the past. This time, the chips didn't fall for him. This time, he didn't get the lucky break. And now, he's facing a serious disruption of his life, maybe for the rest of his life. He may not be able to make a living like he always has. He may not be able to restore his reputation again. He may not get the grace and the support from his family and friends that he has. He may lose his family. He certainly has lost his credibility in his chosen profession for now because he went back one more time, and that one more time, things didn't go like they had always gone, and he hit rock bottom. And for him, he doesn't think that the bottom's going to hold. Right now, he feels desperate and hopeless, and nothing seems to be able to reach him. He doesn't think that it's going to be okay anymore. She made a decision. She Googled and found a therapist and decided she needed some professional help. And she went. And the therapist told her, yeah, you're right. You need to make some changes. But guess what? You being here, you took action. And that means there's hope because you decided to move and do something and change something. For him, he doesn't get the choice anymore. Lawyers and law enforcement professionals are telling him what he's going to change. For him, it's public news. For him, everybody knows his dark secret now. And don't judge him too harshly, because you've got them too. All of us do. I do. Most of us do. I'm sure all of us do in some ways. Maybe ours aren't as public, or maybe they're not something that could get us in legal trouble. Maybe they're not as shaming if the public knew about it. But there's something. There's something that if everybody knew, you wouldn't be too happy about it. Maybe just inside your own thought life even. But there's something. So don't judge him. I'm telling these two stories to tell you that sometimes the war starts. Sometimes the war's been raging all around you and you just haven't been able to realize it. You haven't been willing to realize it. But once you know that the war is going on, once you know that you're in the fight, once you know that you're being deployed, you've got to make a decision. Is the bottom going to hold for you? Remember Mark Rogap said, there's a floor to your suffering that Jesus bought. If you believe that, then you can do what she did. You can look in that mirror and you can say, I need some help. She called a therapist. She made a decision. She stopped drinking. She's changing her diet. She's exercising. She's going to do something different with her life now because she recognized that she was on rock bottom. She didn't want to feel the way she's been feeling. And the only way to stop feeling what you're feeling is to start changing what you're doing. Because every day that you don't make a decision, you are making a decision to keep it the way it is. And the problem with that is the way it is won't stay that way. It will decay, it will get worse, and it will happen like it happened for him. One day, what you've always done isn't going to work anymore. Sometimes it plays out in fantastic and dramatic ways, like him, the trouble he's in, the problem he's facing. Sometimes it's just a tragic sameness for the rest of your life, and you get old, and you wake up one day, and everything's kind of gone, and your kids don't call, and your marriage broke up, or your spouse died, or you just sit together in a lonely house and never utter a word, and just look out the window, and nothing ever changed, and nothing ever bad really happened, but nothing ever good really happened either. And you just kind of withered away with sameness. And that's just as devastating. It's just not as fantastic or sensational publicly. So the bottom line is, friend, when you hit rock bottom, you have two decisions you can make. You can stay the same and keep plunging into darkness and then the abyss of hopelessness and despair. Or you can reach out and ask for help. You can make a decision that you're going to pack your kit and you're going to get in the fight and you're going to run up that beach and you're going to attack this thing head on. And Jesus will help you. Your friends will help you. The prayer wall will help you. WLEWarrenMD.com/prayer will be there for you. If you make that decision, you're going to face some fights. And one thing that happens is sometimes the reason that we're struggling and the bullets that seem to be shooting at us are self-inflicted. And sometimes it's sin. If you don't know what sin is, James 4:17 says, when you know something in your heart and you don't do it, that's sin. So that's a simple definition. Obviously, there's some things that are sins. It's a sin to murder. It's a sin, I think, to commit murder, to steal, to cheat, to lie. All those things are obviously sins, right? But there's some other things that are sins too. Maybe for one person, having a glass of wine at night is not a sin. Maybe for another person, it is, because you know God has told you it's not okay for you to do that anymore. It's not time to do that anymore. When my granddaughter Scarlett was about 4, her little brother George was having an issue where he would be busy playing and he needed to go to the bathroom and he would just pee on the floor. He didn't like the way it felt to pee in his diaper, and he wasn't potty trained yet. He would just undo his diaper and pee on the floor. Scarlett wrote him a little song. At age 4, she wrote this incredible song and recorded it. Don't pee on the floor, 'cause you're not allowed. Don't pee on the floor. It's not time to. You have to put pee in the potty. A great lyricist, right? It's hysterical because she said it's not time to, which implies that there might be a time to pee on the floor, but that's another point. It was hysterical because she said it's not time to. Well, listen, friend, when you know something is a sin for you, it's not time to. There's not a time to do it anymore. It's time to change it, okay? And one way that you can know that there's something that is a sin is if you know the standard to hold it up against, which is the Word of God. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So one great thing, one great way to know what you need to be focusing on in your life and what you need to be chipping away at in terms of personal holiness or getting stronger is to put some word in your heart so you know what God wants from you, so you know what his plans are for you, so you know what his standards are, and not let other people or life tell you some relativistic version of what you're supposed to be striving for. Hide some word in your heart. So there's two things. If you know what's right or not right for you and you do or don't do it, that's sin. And sometimes sin is the thing that's weighing us down. Remember, since therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's Hebrews 12, right? So I want you to think about that as you're getting into the fight, because you're going to have a fight. And these two stories I told you, they go very different directions. One, somebody's making this guy make decisions and make changes and strip things out of his life. And he's having a desperate public sort of shaming of his situation. And he's got to deal with that. And it's going to be hard. And it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be dangerous. And it's going to radically alter the shape and the scope of the future, whole future of his life, right? The sirens and the lights and the newspapers and all those things, it's real. It's going to devastate him. But there's hope. He just has to decide that the bottom will hold. And to do that, he needs to find the path forward, the hope and the light of Jesus. That's the only real path to peace for any of us. For her, she made a decision that the bottom was as low as she was willing to go. And from there, she's going to take active, strong steps, daily decisions, little things and big things. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to go for a walk instead of turning on the TV. I'm not going to buy that bottle of wine so that therefore I won't give into it at night. So I'm not going to blame the wine for the problem. I'm not going to blame the devil for it because I didn't go buy it. It's not there anymore. It can't tempt me. It can't hold me back. I'm going to get out and go for a walk. I'm going to do some exercise. I'm going to read a book that's going to help me think differently. I'm going to put some word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So friend, there's two paths, right? This is a war, whether you realize it or not. There's a war for you to have the impact and the peace and the hope and the joy and the abundance that Jesus intended for you to have, that your enemy does not want you to have, that some people might not even want you to have. But there's a war. And you get to decide whether you're going to fight it, you're going to lay down on the beach and die, you're going to stay in the boat, you're not even get engaged in the fight at all, or you're going to fight for it. I want you to fight for it. So for now, we're at D-Day plus 2. We're on the beach. We're fighting forward. We've got our kits packed. We left some things behind that we can't drag into the fight with us. We brought the appropriate things with us. We're going to hide some word in our hearts so we know what the rules are. We know what the guardrails are that will help us to become healthier and feel better and be happier, because we're making good decisions now. We're casting off those things that are holding us back. That's what I want for you, friend. I want you to get in the fight. I want you to have some success in the fight. I want you to know that the bottom's going to hold, but you don't have to stay on the bottom. You don't have to stay in the furnace of suffering. And for goodness sakes, like Mr. Green, in my book, my new book, I told a story about this guy. I think I told you about it the other day. He said, you know what? I'm going to relentlessly refuse to participate in my own demise. I am not going to make decisions that are harmful for myself anymore. I'm going to make decisions that are going to lead to a better outcome for myself. I'm not going to participate in my own demise. Listen, there's a lot of things you can't control in this life. You can't control the market. You can't control the economy. You can't control whether or not you get cancer most of the time. You can quit smoking, by the way. If you're smoking, you can do that. You still can't control whether you get cancer or not, but you can fight for it, right? You can't control what other people do for the most part. You can't control the weather, but you can decide that you're not going to participate in your own demise. You're not going to put stuff in your body. You're not going to stay on the couch. You're not going to continue the thought processes that are leading you into this issue. You're not going to sit at night and dream up ways that other people are responsible for all your problems. Because if you do that, guess what? You're going to be stuck because they're not going to change for the most part. They're not. You're going to have to solve some of your own problems. I mean, the good news is you're not alone. You have a Father and a Savior who relentlessly look for ways to help you. The Bible says He will rise to show you compassion. He longs to be gracious to you, right? You got this community. You got me out here every day praying for you, me and Lisa and Tata pulling for you. And you got the fact that your Savior paid for the bottom. The floor on your suffering, He paid for that. You can't go below it if you're willing to let Him help you out of it. All you need to do is make a decision. Look in the mirror like she did. It's a Wednesday. It's not some dramatic day. You're not in jail. If you are, there's still opportunities for you to get better. There's still opportunities to go to church, to get in the Word, to make some friends, to change your path. Somebody might be making you do some of that, but what happens when you get out? You go back the way it's always been, or do you change it? Or like the young lady I told you about, you look in the mirror and say, today's the day. I'm at rock bottom. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I love tomorrow more than I love not feeling today. Listen to that, friend. If you're doing that at night, if you're turning the TV on, or you're opening a bottle of wine, or you're spending time on Amazon buying stuff that you don't need, if you're tuning out of your marriage, if you're ignoring your kids, if you're just numbing yourself with something instead of living your life, then the problem is that you love not feeling today more than you love feeling better tomorrow. And let's just flip that around. Let's let that be the fight that we have today. Let's decide that we want to feel tomorrow fully. We want to live in the beautiful sunrise of God's love instead of in the, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, I wish I hadn't eaten that. Oh, I wish I hadn't put that in my body. Oh, I wish I hadn't clicked on that website. Oh, I wish I hadn't XYZ. Don't be stuck in sameness. Don't forget that the bottom holds. Don't despair and think it doesn't hold. And don't forget to start today. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. If it's true that you're thinking of me now, if it's true, I really am your precious child, if it's true that you're singing over me. What else could I ever want? What else could I need? If it's true that you cherish who I am, won't reject me like some others used to do. If it's true that you take delight in me, tell me what else could I ever want? What else could I need? Just knowing that forever your affections are toward me. I can stand no matter what I'm facing, carry on. Though the storms that may be raging, I can run, turn these ashes into praises. All I really need is to know you always win.
collected all my tears. Tell me, what else could I ever want? What else should I fear? Oh, knowing that forevermore, your affections all toward me. Always will love me.